Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Thursday, February 12th, 2026. And today we're not just talking about some minor tech update. We're looking at a report that I have to be honest, I read three times this morning, just to make sure I wasn't, hallucinating the numbers. It's titled Opening Pandora's Box: Why 2026 Was the Year Encryption Fell. And it focuses on data that Tikkun Plus just put out this month. And look, you guys listen to this, you know the drill, you know about Moore's Law, you know about the theoretical threat of quantum computing. We've talked about Q-Day for what, a decade?
Oh, at least. It's been the boogeyman in the closet for every security chief since the early 2000s.
Exactly. But here's the thing. We always thought Q-Day was going to be about hardware, right?
Right, about building some refrigerator-sized supercomputer.
Yeah, a billion-dollar machine in a lab somewhere. But this report, it says we were looking in completely the wrong direction. It wasn't just the hardware, it was the software. It was AI. And the statistic that, I mean, anchors this whole thing, it's honestly hard to process.
It is a fundamental shift in reality. It's not an upgrade, it's a new reality.
So let's just put it out there. We're comparing the time it takes to crack a standard RSA 2048 encryption key,
The bedrock in
the
it.
bedrock of the internet. That's your bank, your medical records, your private messages. In 2024, if you put a traditional supercomputer on that key, it would take 300 trillion years to crack.
Which is effectively never. I mean, the sun burns out first.
Right. 300 trillion years. And today, as of February 2026, using the new quantum AI hybrid models, 14 seconds.
14 seconds.
I just want to let that sink in for a moment. We didn't just shave off some zeros. We went from like geological time to less time than it takes to tie your shoes. The report literally calls standard encryption crumpled paper. And I think we need to understand how we got here so
Well,
fast.
that's the real question, isn't it? And to get the how, you have to respect the what.
I think a lot of people just gloss over RSA 2048. We treat it like magic, but it's just math. Prime number specifically.
Right, the old factoring problem. Exactly. It's super easy to take two huge prime numbers and multiply them together. A calculator can do that. But if I give you that result and say, find the two original primes, that is excruciatingly hard. That imbalance, easy one way, impossible the other, that was the foundation of all digital privacy for 40 years.
And that's where the 300 trillion years number came from. It wasn't that a computer couldn't try, it was just too many options.
Precisely. It was a brute force problem. You were looking for a needle in a haystack the size of the galaxy.
Yeah.
But what this Tekken Plus report really drives home, and this is key for you to understand, is that we're not using brute force anymore. We aren't checking the whole haystack. We have a magnet.
So let's walk through the timeline because it didn't happen overnight, even though it feels like it. The report maps this. 2024 was the traditional era, 300 trillion years. Everyone felt safe. But then 2025 happened.
2025. That was the year of hybrid AI. And looking back now, that was the warning siren we all just slept through. We saw predictive AI getting integrated with classical decryption methods. The AI wasn't solving the math yet, but it was optimizing the guessing game.
And the numbers just dropped off a cliff.
They really did. We went from 300 trillion years down to about 8 months.
Okay, stop there. 8 months. In the security world, that can still feel like a long time for one key. If I'm a hacker, am I going to spend 8 months cracking one person's credit card number? Probably not. So I get why the average person didn't really panic.
Right. For, regular consumer fraud, 8 months is pretty useless. But for a nation state, corporate espionage, 8 months is nothing. That's a standard project cycle.
Yeah.
If you stole an encrypted hard drive in January 2025 with, say, the blueprints for a new battery, you could have those plans readable by September. That was the moment. The absolute security of RSA just, it evaporated. It went from impossible to just expensive.
And that gets us to right now, February 2026, the end game, the leap from 8 months to 14 seconds. The report says this is all down to agentic AI. Now, we've heard that buzzword agents for a bit. What's different about these agents compared to last year's models?
The difference is reinforcement learning applied directly to cryptography. This is the villain of the story, or the hero, I guess, depending on where you're standing. In the past, algorithms were static. They followed a script. These new agents, and the report actually names the systems Scylla and Charybdis, they don't just follow rules. They learn from the resistance they encounter.
Okay, unpack that for me. Learning from resistance sounds like a movie montage. What is the AI actually doing to the code?
Think about it like lockpicking. An amateur just jams a tool in and jiggles, hoping to get lucky.
Yep.
That's brute force.
Right.
A master lockpicker, though, they apply tension, they feel the tiny vibrations, listen for the clicks. They build a mental model of the inside of the lock. These agentic AI models are basically listening to the math.
They can see vibrations in the numbers.
In a way, yeah. The report says Scylla and Charybdis are identifying hidden patterns in hashed codes. We always assumed encryption hashes were perfectly random, pure chaos, but it turns out they aren't. They're these microscopic statistical biases, tiny little patterns in how the prime numbers interact. A human would never see it. But an AI training on billions of attempts, it sees the pattern. It sees the key's DNA.
That is genuinely terrifying. It's like finding out that concrete isn't solid. It's actually just a really, really thick liquid.
That's a great way to put it. The math itself hasn't changed, but our ability to see through it has had a phase shift. The AI isn't guessing the password anymore. It's reverse engineering the logic that created the password.
Which explains why the defenses failed.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the Tower of Babel theory. I remember reading about this. The idea was to confuse the AI by making our code messy, right?
Security through obscurity.
Exactly. Using weird languages, different logic structures.
It was a hopeful theory, for sure. The Tower of Babel analysis suggested that if every system spoke a different complex digital dialect, an AI wouldn't have enough data to break them all. Like if I write my encryption wrapper in some custom version of Rust mixed with old COBOL, the AI shouldn't get it.
But the report says that layer just melted away.
It melted because we were thinking about the AI like it was a person. We thought, oh, it doesn't speak French, so it can't read this French book. But the AI isn't reading the language. It's reading the ink. It analyzes the binary flow, the computational logic underneath the language.
So it doesn't care if I wrote my code in Python or a language I made up yesterday.
Not one bit. Math is universal. Logic is universal. The Tower of Babel fell because Scylla and Charybdis look at the underlying numerical reality. They just ignore the syntax and attack the structure. So all that time engineers spent trying to hide their code, it bought them milliseconds, not years.
Okay, so let's recap the battlefield. RSA is dead. 14 seconds. The defensive strategy of making things complicated is also dead. This feels like the part of the movie where the scientists just say there's no solution, but the report says there is one.
Yes. Post-quantum cryptography. PQC.
Right. We've known PQC was coming. Lattice-based cryptography, all that stuff designed to resist quantum attacks. So, play devil's advocate. If we have the shield and we know the sword is here, why isn't everyone just using PQC right now? Why isn't my phone already updated?
And this is where the report pivots from a tech thriller into an economic horror story. The problem isn't the math. We have the math. The problem is the cost.
The report uses this phrase, costs beyond imagination. Usually in tech, costs go down, right?
Yeah.
Flat screens used to be 10 grand, now they're 200 bucks. Why is this different?
It's about the physics involved. The report breaks down the 2026 coding costs, and it's just staggering. PQC keys are massive. They are computationally heavy. To encrypt and decrypt a message with these new standards takes way more processing power and energy than RSA ever did.
So it's not just buying new software. It's the electricity bill.
It's the electricity. It's the latency. It's the hardware. Your current smartphone battery would die in an hour if it tried to run continuous high-level PQC for all your apps and data. The consumer chips we have right now just aren't built for the sheer mathematical weight of this stuff.
So we're in a situation where the cure is too heavy for the patient to carry.
Exactly. And that leads to, I think, the most chilling sentence in the entire document, security has turned into a luxury good.
Let's stay on that for a second. Security as a luxury good. We think of luxury as, you know, a fast car or a nice watch. We don't think of privacy as a VIP feature.
But think about what that means. In the RSA era, let's call it the democratized era, the math was the same for everyone. The encryption protecting a billionaire's messages was the exact same math protecting a journalist in a war zone. It was a level playing field.
And now?
Now, because the cost of defense is so high, because you need specialized hardware, huge energy overhead, access to special servers, only the entities with the deepest pockets can afford to be truly safe.
So banks?
Banks, governments, Fortune 100 companies, they can absorb the unimaginable costs of PQC infrastructure. They're building digital fortresses.
And what about the rest of us? Small businesses, an average person.
We're left in the glass house. We're basically forced to keep using legacy encryption, that crumpled paper, because the upgrade is unaffordable. It creates a digital caste system. You have the secure class and the transparent class.
That's dystopian isn't quite the right word. It's more like digital feudalism. You've got the castle with the high walls, and everyone else is just out in the open, hoping the raiders don't show up.
It is a very valid comparison. And it changes the whole point of the internet. If privacy is only for the rich,
mm-hmm.
then for most people, the internet is now a broadcast medium, whether they like it or not.
This brings me to the strategic analysis part of the report, the now what section. Because I'm sitting here, and I bet you are too, thinking, okay, do I just throw my laptop in a river? Live in a cave? The report promises a roadmap. What does it actually look like?
The roadmap is stark. The first big landmark on it is the definitive end of static credentials.
Passwords.
Passwords, API keys, anything that just sits there in a database unchanged. If it's static, it's gone. The AI can reverse engineer the hash in 14 seconds, so your password might as well just be password 123.
So even if I change my password to some 50-character string of nonsense, it doesn't matter.
It buys you milliseconds, maybe? The AI isn't guessing the characters. It's breaking the lock that holds them. So the industry is scrambling desperately towards dynamic authentication.
Which means what, exactly?
Continuous verification. Biometrics that are constantly checking your heartbeat, your typing speed, your location, your behavior. You don't log in once anymore. You're constantly being verified.
That sounds exhausting and also incredibly invasive. To be safe from hackers, I have to let the system watch my every move 24/7.
That is the trade-off. To prove you are you without a static password, you have to provide a continuous stream of personal data. And circling back to the economics, processing that constant stream is computationally expensive. So we're right back at the luxury problem again.
It really feels like we're trapped. On one side, you've got this agentic AI stripping away our old defenses. On the other, the cost of the new defenses is walling most of us out.
That is the strategic reality of 2026. We are seeing the end of what you could call passive safety. You know, for 30 years, you could install an antivirus, set a strong password, and mostly forget about it. You were passively safe. That era is over. Security is now an active, resource-intensive, and very expensive pursuit.
I want to go back to that image you used, the crumpled paper, because that really sticks. When you crumple a piece of paper, you can flatten it out, but the creases are there forever. You can't make it pristine again.
No, you can't. And we can't go back to 2024. The genie, this agentic AI, is out of the bottle. Even if we ban the tech tomorrow, the mathematical knowledge is out there. The patterns and the prime numbers have been seen. We can't unsee them.
So for the listener who's maybe thinking about their online banking right now, what is the actionable advice? Is there any, or is it just brace for impact?
There are steps, but they're about mitigation, not a complete solution. First, stop trusting static files. If you have a file on your computer called passwords.txt or even a standard password manager app, you have to assume it's compromised. You need to move to hardware keys, physical tokens.
Like YubiKey.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Physical isolation is one of the few things that is still relatively cheap and effective. The AI can hack your software, but it can't physically press a button on a USB stick in your pocket.
Yet. You just had to add the yet.
Well, you have to. But the bigger takeaway is psychological. We need to stop assuming privacy is the default setting. We need to operate with the mindset that our digital traffic is potentially visible. That changes how you write an email, what you store in the cloud, what you choose to keep analog.
Analog, paper. We might be circling back to actual paper notebooks.
Ironically, yes. A physical notebook in a locked safe is now infinitely more secure than a so-called secure server. We've come full circle.
That is a wild thought. The most advanced AI in human history has made a spiral-bound notebook the pinnacle of security tech.
It's the one thing Scylla and Charybdis can't raid.
We've covered the math, the timeline, the mechanism, the brutal economics, but I want to close on that sociological note you brought up.
The luxury good concept.
Yeah. If privacy really becomes a luxury good, what does that do to something like democracy? To free speech? If you have to pay a premium subscription to have a private conversation, then privacy isn't a right anymore. It's a commodity.
And historically, when rights become commodities, society stratifies. We see it in healthcare and education. To see it happen to something as fundamental as mathematical privacy is a new frontier. It raises a really big question. Mm-hmm. In 2026, is your data actually yours? Or are you just leasing the right to hide it for a while?
And if you stop paying the lease, the walls come down.
The walls just come down.
Look, I know this deep dive was heavy. 14 seconds is a number that's going to stick with me for a while. But the goal here isn't to scare you into paralysis. It's to make you aware of the water we're all swimming in now. The pool has changed. And there are definitely sharks in the deep end.
And it's better to know the sharks are there than to pretend the water's safe.
Exactly. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and maybe go buy a physical notebook today, just in case.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you in the next one.
Stay safe out there.